Friday Afternoon Deploy is recorded at the offices of Lofty in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
We can't lose that. Phone. That's good content.
But yeah,
Tyrell used to have banana phone as your ringtone.
I did. It was pretty awesome.
You know, it's universal. I think people with kids know Raffy songs.
Yep.
And everyone else on Earth goes, "What? Mm. Like, yeah, down by the bay with the watermelons." You know, you guys know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. The original Kids Bop.
Yeah. He's old. I was looking him up the other day because Henry's addicted to Raffy songs and. And like most of this stuff came out in like the early 90s or maybe even prior to that. Some of it might have been the late 80s.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, I was Googling this dude. And I was like, oh, right. Yeah. That was 20 plus, actually 30 years ago now.
Yeah.
You missed the Wiggles. That's a good thing. John, did you get the Wiggles?
I do know the Wiggles. So I worked at a
I've gotten the
library.
Wiggles before, but it was like not.
Yeah. More coffee. I'll have the Wiggles.
Exactly.
Again here pretty soon.
In college, I worked at a library, and the Wiggles were very big in the children's library. They had like a cover band come in and do the Wiggles.
A Wiggles cover band.
It was nuts. Yeah.
Boy, you I can only imagine you made a ton of money doing that. I can't see anybody going like, for the love of the game, I'm starting a Wiggles cover band.
Yeah. Really love,
but there you had to be some other motive. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I bet you made stupid money.
That's what I always thought about
Wiggles cover band.
Like Raffy and people like that exclusively do like music for kids and babies was just like, man, and he's a musician. He's a talented one, good songwriter, It's like, this isn't what you wanted to do, though, right? I mean, maybe it is. I can't speak totally. And in his case, I read Wikipedia tornado on Raffy, and he toured in a couple bands, and then found his way into this, and really, you know, said that was it, and enjoyed it.
That's interesting. That's kind of like Mom and Pop, like
Mom and Pop is it? They're a local example of that.
Punk band.
They opened for Green Day.
Yeah,
he's got a review from Billy Joe Armstrong. Has given him some accolades out there, but now he's in a kids band. They live here in Fayetteville.
Huh. Yeah,
Henry's favorite band. He doesn't realize because like we can pull him up on Spotify and on the TV and stuff like that. That it's not normal to be able to just go like walk down the street and run into your favorite band at the park or at the grocery store or something like that. But that happens all the time to him. Nice. So it's very charmed life for him. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, look, it's the people from my favorite band, and they know my name, you know? it's like, that's not normal. Never run into... You ever run into Maynard at the grocery store and you know your name?
It would be sweet.
Yeah.
My dad had that moment in Nashville. We were visiting Nashville. And it's common to run into famous folks in Nashville, musicians. And we were there, and... We were at a Walmart in, like, I think we were in Franklin, which is where everybody that wants to leave Nashville but stay close to Nashville lives. We were there.
Is it kind of like a mountain town-ish thing?
No. I don't think it's quite. It's got some hills.
Never mind. I'm totally somewhere else.
Place.
Yep.
Yeah. So we're there, and we're walking through Walmart Supercenter, and we're in the what do they call it where you get your toilet paper and prescription drugs and everything? The pharmacy area, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we're walking by, and George Jones is standing there looking at toothpaste.
Awesome.
And my dad,
it's
like
awesome.
He was probably like 55-year-old man at the time, was just starstruck, standing at the end of this aisle, staring at George Jones. And I'm just like, Dad, leave the possum alone. He just needs his toothpaste. Don't go talk to him. And he's just like, that's George Jones. I've never seen him in my life. And I'm just like, quiet. We need to move on. And then I had to gently kind of nudge him because he was just...
Starstruck.
He had that moment where he's just like, it's him in person. I could go touch him.
Don't touch him.
No, you can't.
Dad, don't touch him.
Yeah. That's how the popos come. This man touched George Jones.
The only time that I've ever, like, organically, if you will, bumped into a celebrity was the strangest thing, and it was Dave Chappelle in Hot Springs, Arkansas. I know, right?
I love him.
He was doing a stand-up show in Little Rock, and he rides motorcycles. And he wanted to get out of the Little Rock area and go for a long ride. So he rode down to Hot Springs, about an hour outside of Little Rock, and got caught in a downpour and just wandered into the only thing that you can find on Google Maps in Hot Springs, Arkansas, which was just like, I need to go to a place that I can just hang for a while. So there was a Starbucks. So he came to Starbucks, and I had a bunch of friends that worked at Starbucks, and they were like texting, like, Dave Chappelle's at Starbucks. I'm like, I think I'm going to go get a coffee. And so... it was like three or four of us. It was like a totally dead day in the middle of the week, pouring down rain, hung out with Dave Chappelle for like an hour at a Starbucks.
Like actually hung out with him or sat adjacent to him?
No.
It was like,
he just came in and there was just the people that worked there and a couple of customers, and he just kind of sat in the middle and was like, hey, how's everybody doing? And we just kind of hung out for a little while and then we left.
He did his thing.
Yeah.
I've got a few of those stories. One of my favorites that's more recent was... we were on Dixon, and you guys ever watch Workaholics?
Yes.
Yeah. The Durs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was in town. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. I remember him doing a thing at Walton Arts Center. Yes. Yeah.
And so this was around that time. We had been to George's, so I was on a mild dose of acid.
Yeah, you were taking a drive down the Lakeshore Drive.
I was.
Yeah.
And so we're driving up Dixon, and we're up at the top, and I'm just like, holy shit, that guy looked like the guy from Workaholics. And she was like, he's in town. And I was like, there he was. It was this whole, like, we do the let's not, don't turn around. We will freak him the fuck out right now. We get out this car and go all like, oh man, it's you. Like, yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
You guys got extra starstruck, sounds like.
Yes.
Yeah. You had help.
I did. That was.
It helped that you were sailing amongst the stars at the time.
It brought me comfort that it was actually him, though, too. Like, it was like, okay, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Still on Earth. Got it. Yeah.
And on that note, we're talking about the company.
Yes.
That's our topic for today. We've got John and Megan with us. Neither of you have been on the show before, right?
No.
Megan made a background appearance in one of our intro cuts.
Mm.
You had some background vocals.
I thought I was just listening.
No, it was on
silently
our
silently laughing.
Well, no, it wasn't silent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The mics are very active. Yeah. We got you on the 1 year episode.
Yeah. Hey, it was probably on the patron content, maybe.
That's right. Yeah. It was on our Patreon. We're all in company mode today because we've got a party going.
Yep.
And Megan and John are here to represent the business. That's our topic. Hope you like it.
Yeah, we're awesome.
We built software, and therefore it's relevant to the show.
It is.
Although we don't really talk a whole lot about the company on the show. We talk mostly about the work we do.
We do try to keep those somewhat separate because basically we would rather the clients did not listen to the show.
This is not a
marketing avenue
for the Lofty brand.
Yes.
I would note that, John. You don't want to go promoting the podcast.
Don't tell that to LinkedIn.
Don't blast this.
We also do a podcast you can listen to.
Duly noted.
That has happened before.
That happened.
Yeah, we had a sales person do that. He was really proud of his work, so he sent it out to the client.
And what's funny is that was probably our crudest episode too.
For sure.
It was the one that we were even kind of like, ooh, that one got a little rough, and that's the one he was so proud of. And like, I come in Monday, he's like, boy, I'm blowing up my LinkedIn with all that.
Listen to it five times this weekend. Yeah.
Man, I don't remember it. So
it was a good, it was a fun episode. But yeah. I mean, all of our episodes are pretty crude. We do not cut very much content, and I don't think I cut a little bit from that one. But it was the only episode that I felt compelled to record a voiceover disclaimer at the beginning. I was just like, hey everybody, this show's usually not safe for work. This episode, doubly so. Please stay tuned.
On that note, big ups to Seth if he's still listening at all. in the rice selling land.
Yeah, he's out selling rice now. We'll see. It'll be a testament.
Yeah, we'll know.
He'll reach out.
He'll share it on LinkedIn.
He'll reach out if he did.
In another episode.
You got a shout out.
Yeah.
So yeah, today we're in company mode because we have rebranded the company behind this podcast, formerly Lofty Labs. Still Lofty Labs when you listen to the outro.
I was about to say, have we recut the outro?
Need to recut the outro. Maybe I'll do that before this episode airs. To just Lofty, we dropped the labs. And so Megan has been working painstakingly to organize. We're having a rebrand event today. So we're having a party. Office party. Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
It's exciting.
So Lofty Labs, no moss. I mean, sorta.
It's still here.
How long we've been slinging the code,
pushing buttons for money? Mm-hmm. Almost 5.5 years.
Boy,
yeah. We turned 5 in July.
Mm.
I like to tell people that we are a 5-year-old company that's about to turn 3, though, because for the first 2 years, I mean, we were a company. On paper.
Yeah.
But we had mostly contractors, no employees, a 10x10 office above damn good pies that smelled like burnt onions. We didn't really start actually growing the business until several years after it started.
Yeah.
It was mostly freelancing and some people that I knew that also kind of freelanced, and we banded together and then got overcommitted on too much work. And was like, oh, I guess we better hire people. I think, how does that work? Call my accountant. I was like, can I just hire? Do I just say you're hired? Is there like a paperwork? How do I do that? And then they walked me through all that. And then we started hiring people and making a company out of it. Yeah, 5.5 years. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
You've been hanging around for a lot of it.
You
weren't working here the whole time.
Not the whole time, no. So, I've that's how I can kind of nod and agree, because I've been hanging out for like three or four of those.
You were definitely hanging out in the period that I would say is the before we were really a company. I mean, that was back when we were a software development company and a co-working space.
Yes. Yes.
Because, you know, we had room.
It was after the 10x10 above damn good, but immediately after that.
There were two offices above damn good, actually. Mm. I don't know if you knew that. There was a very short stint in a 10x20. A double wide. Double wide. We had a double wide for a little while. We moved down the hall.
Gotcha, okay.
Into an old music studio. Someone used to teach music lessons there. We were only there for like 3 months, though.
Okay.
And then we moved to the Pryor Center. And I don't know if you saw one before the Pryor Center.
So I think I'd met you while you were at that one.
Probably.
Because I remember being at a meetup and talking about that where you guys were.
Went to a meetup, and it wasn't at our office, it's because we didn't have an office big enough to host the meetup.
That makes sense.
That probably makes sense. Yeah.
Did you guys charge for the co-working space? I don't remember.
Yep.
I know. I showed up a couple of times.
We had membership plans. Yeah. There's some content out there somewhere. I don't know if people search for co-working spaces on the fucking Wayback Machine or something.
Yeah.
Like, I can't find the page on the website, but about like every 6 months, I will get a random call to the front like phone line that's like, you guys still do co-working? I'm like, no. Well, we did that for like 3 months, and that was years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you find that?
No, I remember dropping in and playing the I'm Friends with Casey card to get on the Wi-Fi and do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Chad moved in.
Perhaps this is what undermined
all of his gear. I loved when Chad started showing up and bringing all of his stuff to the co-working
space. He brought a dolly full.
Yeah.
Every day. It's multiple days of dollars. He hooked us up.
Chad, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chad's
going to be on the show soon.
I know. We got to get him on. We've talked about it a bunch.
He said he's in.
I've had visual.
Yeah.
Looked him in the eyes. He said he's coming.
I've had three verbal commitments. Yeah.
I know he's a busy dude.
Yeah. He is.
And he's very active, particularly in the election cycles.
Mm.
But we got to get him on.
Mm-hmm.
Great dude. Yeah. We put a mini fridge in that space. You know, with most things that we did back then, and we still kind of operate that way too. We're a small company. We're figuring it out. We bought the mini fridge without any really, what are we going to put in it? You know, just like, we need that. So we put that over there.
Yeah.
And then Chad just came with dolly's carts.
He felt obligated to fill the fridge.
Of beverages and stuff like that, because he's a stand-up dude.
That mini fridge. That thing was loud. It had a voice.
Do you remember that thing?
I do. I sat next to it.
See, yeah. I've seen Megan and John just have this lost look on their face. I'm sorry that you guys didn't get to see the era of Lofty Labs with the noisy mini fridge. Yeah. That thing seriously was... that was a topic of conversation.
Yes.
We had... yeah.
It's about that loud.
Exactly. Like, yeah. We had at least one employee threaten to quit over that mini fridge. If we didn't move it away from their desk. That's funny. Yeah. We left it at the other old office. We've had a lot of offices.
The Dixon office.
The Dixon Street office. Yeah.
Which is now a kava bar.
Yeah, it is.
A kava tea and yoga studio.
Yes. As you do. And, we went and had CBD distributor as well.
That's right. Yeah. Tyrell and I went and had some kava over there.
We did.
Barely recognized the place.
Yeah,
they scraped the vinyl Lofty Lab sticker off the wall, which I think was good for their brand. That was smart.
Probably. Yeah. You have to expect that. Yeah.
I agreed. Yeah. So I forgot about that. I'll never forget that now.
Yeah.
Now that you've reminded me, the fridge. Mini fridge. We have a much, much nicer one. This one's not noisy. It just makes everything smell.
Yeah.
It's not a gross smell.
No,
it's like metallic. it's like a mechanical smell.
It's that fresh electronics, like when you opened your N64 for the first time back in the day, and that room, that smell filled the room. That's what it smells like.
It's a good smell on a Nintendo.
Yes.
It's not a great smell on a can of Sprite.
Right. No. So
putting it to your face,
everything you get out of there, just put it in a glass, and it's fine.
Yeah, that's our solution. Yeah. It's still a much better mini fridge.
Yes.
Maybe that's why. Like, I would have more of a problem with that if I didn't have the perspective of the ear bleeding.
That
terrible.
Can be worse. Megan's really happy that it's not that old fridge since she's.
It's right next to your desk.
Yeah, and
you'd be the one threatening to quit.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly don't think it smells. So now I'm probably going to think.
You don't smell it from the outside.
No.
It's just like, I've been cycling baking soda through that thing for a while. Maybe it's finally gotten better.
It may be dissipating now. Yeah.
We had a client come in.
We do sometimes.
Yeah, that happens occasionally. We had a client come on site and get something out of that fridge recently, and this client was formerly an electrical engineer.
Oh.
And so he was drinking a soda, and he stopped me as I was walking by, and he said, that fridge got a smell. I was like, oh, yeah, you discovered it's the robot oil smell. And he's like, he was very concerned. He was like, that's a burnt out capacitor. And I was like, oh. Maybe so. And he's like, that thing can explode.
Oh.
And I was I was like, don't worry, guys.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Don't worry, guys. Yeah, I was just like, nah, we've had that for a year.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's all right.
It came that way.
Yeah.
There were Amazon reviews about the smelliness, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, other people talked about it. So I'll just run.
It's not a burnt out capacitor. It's cheap capacitors.
Cheap capacitor.
I think is what it is. they're almost burnt out, but like that's just the way they came.
It's good to know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was very concerned.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that we can talk about that with our audience who tunes in to listen to us talk about the state of the mini fridges around the company. But it's nostalgic for us. I don't know if that's interesting to anyone else.
I don't know either.
I'd wager not. It's barely interesting to us.
So maybe we should talk about software development.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
In the context of the company, that's changed a lot for us. Mm. I can draw a parallel to our old noisy fridge. We also used to have equivalent processes as a company, particularly on our dev process before we switched to Agile. When we did, we didn't do water, you know, in the enterprise model, you have a lot of people that did waterfall and switched to Agile. Mm. Our move to Agile was from... complete and total chaos was the process that we ran.
I was going to let you say it.
Prior to making that switch. That's been a big change.
Yeah.
I
mean, there was some method to our madness, but maybe we could only see it.
If you go back far enough, it was absolute total chaos. Mm. And I think that is the same probably for almost any organization that starts the way we started as freelancers, kind of slowly, organically growing. And it's just like, you know, process was like a spice that we'd use. Like, oh, we'll sprinkle a little, you know, some sort of system or process on that. Not too much. Don't want to mess up the flavor of the super cook in here. Don't want to mess up our culture.
But once you get like five or six concurrent clients, you know, you got to figure something out.
Yeah.
Like it's one thing when you got like one or two that you're, you know, but after a while.
to keep consistency. You need to, some sort of process.
Some way to
don't mind me and just licking my contact.
Yeah. That's yeah, do your thing there.
Understandably,
he's a pro. Don't worry.
So we definitely like the change as developers to Agile. I don't, John. Are you, how have you found now that you're kind of having to potentially explain Agile to clients more regularly? How are you guys, you and Casey, finding that process going with the, like, how do the clients receive and understand Agile?
I don't know. I mean, I kind of keep it on a bird's eye view, so I don't necessarily get into the details because these guys don't really, a lot of times, aren't interested in the nuts and bolts.
You know, unless we're talking to like a CTO that actively runs a dev team, most of the time it's not really about the technical details.
Yeah, right? I mean, they want a process that each week they can be a part of and know, you know, kind of how it's progressing and, you know, deal with issues that come up. And I think, as I explained that, you know, that's kind of what Agile is meant for. You know, they like that. You know, it's something that they feel comfortable with. So I think that's what people expect when they've got a big project, some format like
exactly. Agile. Yeah. I think that's a big part of it is you got lots of different customers at different points in their careers, different companies at different scales. Most of them value process. It doesn't even really necessarily matter what, but if there's a process that we can point to and say it has rules, it's a system, here's how it works, that we're not just going to come in and go like, well, Alan.
Yeah.
Guess we should write some code today or
I'll write
something.
A little bit.
Yeah,
I'll write a little bit
piece.
Of it.
Let's see. We got a 12-month project, so we'll just break that into two parts. Yeah. I'll take one part, you take the other part, and we'll see if we get there.
Yeah.
So they want to know that that's not happening. And if they're from a big enough business, I think process gives them comfort.
Yeah,
totally. Because it's what they're used to. If they're from a small enough business or they've worked with freelancers, if they've built software before, in the absence of process, like working with an individual that didn't really have a need for process. Like, don't get me wrong. Right. If you're a freelancer, I don't think you should necessarily be holding daily stand-ups with yourself.
In the mirror. What'd you work on yesterday, Tim?
Oh, well, thanks, Tim. I'll get right to that. Yeah, I don't think that should be the case. But if someone's had that process and they've added a couple more freelancers to it and there was no organization above that, kind of keeping people from stepping on each other's toes, they've seen that burn them. And so I hear that a lot. I don't know if you've heard that from a customer yet, but you know, I've definitely heard customers who look at that there's a process and you kind of hear a sigh of relief. I think we're about to sign a contract probably today with our buddy down in Florida. And that's what I heard from him. Was he had worked with a lot of freelancers simultaneously, and we told him about the process, and he was like,
yeah, it definitely helps to have milestones and just kind of like a clear date, you know, maybe moved around a little bit, but it's much preferred, I think, rather than just saying, hey, you know, it might be a couple months, we'll, you know, see what happens, mm-hmm. get a couple people in on this. We can definitely lay it out, you know, as a methodical process, and people, yeah. Florida guy really appreciated that.
Totally. Yeah. And in the absence of that, what it seems like when you don't have that is basically like, we will provision a hole, which you can throw money into indefinitely, and we'll figure out when we're done, which is a very scary thought.
Yeah.
I like that thought. As long as I'm that hole.
It's totally to our benefit, right? Yeah. And things can't work that way for good reason, right?
No.
I mean, that's part of why we switched as a company away from hourly billing. Because in hourly billing, our interests and the client's interests are actually diametrically opposed. Mm-hmm. It's, if you look at it purely from a financial basis, it is absolutely in our best interest to get it done as slow as possible.
Yeah, this and will take 1 billion hours.
Yeah, and it's in their best interest that we get it done absolutely as fast as possible. And that's a very, very difficult dynamic to overcome. Like if you're a freelancer, this is pro tip. If you're a freelancer and you're in that hourly relationship, find a way to break it, because you can definitely, all of you, it will resonate immediately, this dynamic of how long will this take? Well, I think it'll take this long. That's really long. And, you know, I'm on the business side. I don't know technical, but I don't feel maybe, you know, if you've ever had a client that treats you maybe like they don't trust your estimations and they don't trust Like, does it really take that long? Are you overcomplicating this? I mean, that's why it's coming back to when they hear complex, that translates to a
time,
bigger check,
which is
right?
money. And yeah, and then the other part of that is you're trying to build quality software, and they're like, ooh, but I don't really have enough money for it to take that long. They're like, cool, well, we'll just put three tires on your car then.
Exactly.
That'll save some time.
So moving away from that helps for the clients, right? And then we found what I think is a sweet spot, which is that our process that we use to run development, Agile, has now factored directly into what we actually sell to the customers. So they're buying into that process, and they're not buying hours, but they're buying a team, and they're buying a set of sprints and iterative development. So it's not a list of feature items, and this is my scope, and you told me this many hours, and when you send me the bill at the end of the month, I'm going to say, tell me what that specific hour was for, because we went an hour over what I was thinking. We get out of that completely and into the budget controls are in the client's hands. They understand the process. They can ask for more. They can ask for less. And they get an updated projection of what it does to the timeline. And they know what their monthly cost is to keep that team engaged. And so that's been really neat for us, because the process that actually yields us building better software, we've found out how to make that the actual product that we sell rather than, you know, people's time by the hour. And that's been really cool. That's relatively new for us. I mean, we moved out of we still have a couple of clients that are legacy that are on hourly billing, but all new clients are going into that model, and it's been very beneficial to the products that we build, to our clients, and the services they get, and to us as a company. It's really enabled us to start growing the company in a scalable
and just
methodical, predictable kind of way. I mean, predictable is important. Predictable revenue drives everything.
Yeah, and just as a software engineer, that makes it, the predictability maybe is a factor in it, but it makes it less stressful that you because you're not in that situation.
That's what I was going to ask. I was going to turn that around. Yeah.
Take the least amount of time possible is pretty much the previous mindset you're in. Like, I got to do the best work in the least amount of time possible. And, you know, it's different where you can just go, okay, well, we're going to do a sprint.
What is the correct solution to the problems in front of me?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You can kind of take your time and think about how to solve it correctly and in a way that doesn't make the next sprint or the next few sprints painful either, you know. Yeah.
It takes vision for a client to see that.
Yes.
And that's the hard thing, that's the hard work for John and I when we're going out there and we're selling to people is to there is customer education. Unless we're working with a customer that manages software engineers internally and they run an Agile process, and then they're just like, I don't want to hire you unless you also run an Agile process, because they know how it works and they get it.
Right.
Otherwise, it's a little customer education, and you know, there is the potential of, like, day by day, maybe some features don't get delivered as fast as they possibly could, but the long-term benefit of not having to go rewrite everything because we built everything out of popsicle sticks and hot glue to get to the next milestone, and then the next request comes in, it's like, oh, yeah, but you wanted it cheap before. Yeah,
so now we may break the whole thing to make this new feature.
Exactly. Oh. So when you get out of that rut, over the long term, it absolutely, even if, like, day by day, it seems to slow down the output is consistent.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I think of it like a, it's not like slow moving. It's not like a glacier slow moving, but it's just like a very consistent, very powerful. You get that machine rolling, and it's cranking out features week by week, every 2 weeks, and it's cranking out less bugs, and you have less false starts, and you really get a lot more done over time.
Yes, it's agile and not fragile. You like that?
Nice, Alan.
Put that on the brochure.
Get that on a shirt.
Yeah, I'm done today. I'll go home and wait for a fallen order to. Well, I guess I just have to wait for the sun to.
Yeah, you know, it's already downloaded, just not unlocked until the time passes.
my inner child can't get over that right now.
John, do you remember? And Megan, I don't mean to cut you out of this. This was presumptuous. Megan probably also remembers, like, going to Walmart or Best Buy to buy a video game. Megan, do you remember that? Yeah,
I loved Sega.
See, there you go.
Yeah, me too.
And now it's back.
Mortal Kombat. Yeah. Mortal Kombat 10, yeah.
I have stood in line at Walmart to buy multiple Mortal Kombat games. Yeah. But that's not how the world works anymore.
No.
Yeah, that's
we're back to our old men with microphone segment, but it's frustrating. You have a game in your possession. You've downloaded it.
Downloaded it, and I've installed it, and they have a mechanism in place that
you can't play it until the release date.
It actually pops up
a pop-up, a little modal that says, look, get it, you're excited, and that's great, but you need to check the store and see when this actually launches.
This is there's licensing involved here,
yeah,
which is wild. I guess it's nice they let you download it in advance.
Yeah, because
I mean, there was a stepping stone in the
like
middle.
60 gigabytes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There was a middle stepping stone from you just go to Best Buy and buy the damn thing
mm-hmm.
to, like, you download it, but you can't download it until it comes out, and then everyone's trying to download it, and it's going, like, dial-up speed, and it's like, I bought the game on launch day, but I can't play it till Monday because Cox.
Yeah.
Or whoever your local cable provider is.
Yeah, yeah.
Call in sick. Yeah. You ever call in sick for a video game launch? I'm not asking you about here. I'm not asking. You can plead the fifth recently.
But I my tummy does hurt a little bit. You know.
You going home?
Yeah. I may not be in tomorrow. No, seriously, I honestly don't.
That might be true.
I don't remember. Yeah,
we are partying tonight.
No, and you know what? And we had a stomach bug going around the house, so it's really going to suck for me tomorrow if I wake up.
You are laying the groundwork right now.
That's how I do my software development too. I spackle it all in real good, and yeah. So I forgot what I was going to say now. Oh yes, I do remember though skipping school for Diablo. And then we installed it on the library computers and pretty much every computer in the school. And then you just didn't have to skip school anymore. You just skip a class.
I remember I remember hearing an announcement come over the junior high loudspeaker that you couldn't install games on school hardware. And that was because we had put the StarCraft, we put the StarCraft spawn. Like if you bought the game, they had this thing called a spawn, which was like, you could put it on your friend's computer so you could play multiplayer together,
right.
But only if the host who paid for the game was in the game.
Mm.
So you couldn't give I couldn't give the spawn to you two and you guys go play a game, but I could give a spawn to both of you and we could all play the game. It was a pretty cool way to spread out multiplayer without
interesting
everyone having
how that. Yeah.
Yeah, if you just wanted to play with your friend one time, like you got to check out this game.
Right.
It was a way. It was viral. Right. It was old viral marketing. Those people would eventually be like, oh, damn it. Alan's sleeping. I want to play around with StarCraft. I'm buying this game.
Yeah.
So we installed the spawn on every computer in every computer lab because we worked in the tech department of the school.
Yeah, as you did back then.
We came to school an hour early for no credit. This is how big of nerds we were to run Cat 5 cable and plug in printers and work orders. We were just a total free slave labor force for the school for IT.
Mm-hmm.
The benefit was we had access to every computer in every computer lab, and we abused the shit out of that access.
Yeah, yeah. And I had Napster on computers, and
We had Quake 3 tournaments when I was in high school. That'll put my age in a very firm bracket. Quake 3. I was in high school.
Gotcha.
I skipped. I might have gotten fired. I worked at a.
Like
I worked Well, I was a student. I wasn't getting paid.
They couldn't fire you. You weren't even hired.
Couple years later, I worked at an amusement park called Magic Springs in the Hot Springs area, and I definitely cut out of work when Doom 3 came out and spent a lot of time with that. I might have lost my job over it. Might have called in too many times. That was a very short-term employment.
That's what I
worked
so
in the
many
games
of those
department,
back then.
Like doing
I,
ring toss.
I can't think of calling into anything because honestly, back then, I worked at a lot of convenience stores. I probably just quit.
I could probably think of more situations where I just never went back and then I called in.
It's a good month of I don't need to go anywhere, so I don't need gas money. I'll rethink this next month.
Terrell's looking at us like we are slackers.
No.
He's got his look on his face like, just quit your job and play video games?
No.
Priorities, fellas.
I hadn't even been considering
any video
that.
Game.
I was honestly considering when you talked about being in the game section.
Yeah.
I went back to like earlier this year, I think, at Silver Dollar City, trying to do the hammer thing for my daughter.
Mm.
She wanted to do it. Then I think the whole family tried to do it, and everybody did very poorly, including me. And generally, I would blame that on like there's got to be like a lever that prevents it from going. It's rigged, right?
Mm.
But I was doing it for my daughter, so my thoughts are surely that guy wasn't a big enough jerk to hold down the like you don't go anywhere button while I'm trying to win something big for my daughter. Like, surely it was authentically a
having
challenge.
Worked in the games department of an amusement park. There's no limit to how big of a jerk you can be.
Yeah, I'm realizing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was where my brain was. I wasn't ostracizing you. I was thinking through, like,
no.
Guy totally just like ruin me.
Inside scoop on that. Having worked in games, I don't think our hammer, I forget what that's called, where it knocks the thing up and it rings the bell at the top.
Yeah,
feet of strength or whatever. I don't think ours had a mechanism on it like that. However, we did have several games that had mechanisms. And my favorite, and this was I was a ringer working this game, was a game called Fool the Guesser. And it was just a little booth that they set in the corner of the park between two of the major rides. And so it was the only game. This is why we podcast now. This is before I got into radio, I had a microphone and I had a loudspeaker system. And when to work that game, you had to draw people in. Mm-hmm. And you would just goad people into like, you can't fool me, essentially. And there were three games you could play. One was I would guess your weight within 10 pounds. Mm-hmm. I could guess your birth month within 2 months, which was every month they threw out was a 5 month range. So pretty good odds on that one, just mm-hmm. statistically, is how that one worked. And then I could guess your age within a couple of years. And that was just a total shit show. There's nothing like that. That was
do
like,
I get to pick what you do, or do you get to pick?
You pick.
Okay.
And if you fool me, you get a prize uh-huh. or whatever. On the scale, it was a big scale, like probably 6 foot diameter scale. And I would go stand next to it. There was a lever on the back. Uh-huh. When you pulled the lever, it would always go to the same weight. And it was something offensive. You know, it was like 258 pounds or something like that. Uh-huh. And I was in high school. I had no tact whatsoever. Mm. And when someone would come up and they were a jerk, like they wouldn't come up and be like, oh, I want to play the game. They'd be like, you can't fucking guess my shit, you know, or whatever. And they would come up and it would be like, guess my wife's weight. You know, that's a setup.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Some like giant hillbilly country bumpkin from Garland County, Arkansas is
spits
like.
Spits some tobacco at your feet and yeah. says,
guess my wife's weight. And then puts his hand on his concealed carry. You know, like. And it fazed me not. I would say, your wife weighs 258 pounds and pull the lever, and then they would be pissed. That was a lot of fun, though, working that game.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. And I was pretty good at the ages. That was just me looking. Guess within 2 years. 5 year band. Wasn't too bad. No. But definitely some of the games were rigged. Ring toss. It wasn't that the rings didn't fit over the bottles, but it was a tight squeeze. You pretty much had to land it at a 90-degree right, angle. There was no way you were going to come in shallow and get it. We also had like basketball games that like the rims
I've heard
were
about
normal.
The rim,
yeah.
Or they were normal.
They were normal
size. I've heard about them doing the same thing. With that, to where like it, the basketball technically will fit right through it.
You have to. You can't put it off the backboard to
right,
do it.
Right.
No, ours were actually pretty straightforward. But the way that worked was they ran that game differently. It was like a flat fee, and I forget how many you had to get a free basketball. But most people would just come up. That was also that was lucrative. Mm. That was a good summer, actually, because people would come up to the basketball game and it was like $5 to play, and it was cash, and they would just keep playing. And then finally, they'd just be like, I just want a basketball. I'm like, $20. And they'd put that knot in my till and put that in my personal pocket, and I would just give them a basketball because they raked in so much money, they had no way of measuring if we gave out too many basketballs day.
And you probably still came out ahead at the park.
Oh, my God, I would walk out with like $100 worth of basketballs.
Mm.
The statute of limitations is far over on that.
You would walk out with the basketballs or with
$100 worth of
basketball money.
Just making sure.
I'm pretty sure they'll see you like arms full of basketballs walking to your car.
That was
car.
Their flaw. They didn't have it figured out. They had this till system where I had $100 cash on me at all times. And when people came to play the games, we had this pneumatic little system. They would slide their money into it. I would push a button and a little lever would pull it down into a money box. So I never handled people's money unless they needed change. So I could always maintain the same amount of money in my till. Take a 20, give them four fives. See, that was bad at this. give them four fives, make change, but I always had the same amount, and then I could call a manager over to switch me out if I was full of 20s and give me ones or whatever. Mm-hmm. They had no inventory control on the prizes whatsoever. So as long as I didn't make change and I still had $100 in my issued till, if a basketball walked out the door, nobody knew. It was not a very good. They needed more processes. They were running chaos over there.
Yep,
they got bought by a park management company after I left. I'm sure they've buttoned that shit up. But
probably.
There were lots of schemes going on.
So rebranding today.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
We got bought by a park management company.
Yeah,
and we're changing the name, putting some more processes in place. No, we didn't get bought. We just changed it. I've had the idea of changing it to Lofty for several years now.
That's what everybody calls us.
Everybody's so. Always said it.
Yeah.
We've always said it.
Yeah.
I've always liked it.
Yeah.
I regretted Lofty Labs the minute we started publishing it. And that's just like that's anyone that does that. If you have my type of personality and you put something out in the world, you're like, oh, shit. Now it's out there and I would change all these things about it. Alan, you're a musician. Tyrell, you're a musician. Oh, yeah. You ever go listen to an old recording and just regret? No. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I've got one album.
Of course you don't.
I've got one album that I'm still proud of. Everything else, I want to die in a fire.
Is it Brilliant Charming?
It is not.
I love that album. That's a good album.
I haven't listened to that one in a while.
That's on a regular repeat. I still forget that you're on that album.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm in my car going, I'm going to listen to Tyrell's music. It's a good album.
I don't cringe at that one, I don't think. I haven't listened to it in ages. So it may have aged well. It's the Mar album that I did that I actually still thoroughly enjoy.
I haven't heard that one.
I can put it in the Sonos.
Put that in the Sonos at the party tonight.
Yeah.
Tyrell slaps
the bass. That's not exactly a party kind of album. It's not bad, but it's not like, it's not we're going to party. It's just like,
you think our clients would appreciate a Mar album?
They would appreciate a BDS album.
Yes, that's true.
We could, very local. We could party down to the BDS.
Okay.
Put on that Brilliant and Charming. Watch people dance.
That wouldn't make you cringe. Like you wouldn't collapse into a black hole when that came on.
I might. I might want to go die somewhere.
But that's exactly what happened with the name of the company. Like as soon as it was out there and it had branding and I had hand designed the logo, I regretted it. But like just because like we're very harsh critics of our own work, right? And so I've always wanted to change it. And it's only a matter of time before I regret this one.
Yeah, we'll get there.
And wish that I had done the logo better or changed something about it. But right now,
we'll do another rebranding eventually.
That's right. Yeah. 5 years from now, we'll do it again.
So what does that process look like? Megan, I know you're kind of like you're definitely the social media voice for us.
I try.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you do a lot better than us, that's for sure.
Yeah. Better than my once a year Instagram post.
Yeah. So what all did you guys do to kind of help put the rebrand out?
We still have things to do.
We still have things to do. There's still a punch list.
We got the business cards. That's important.
Business cards.
And the party. I think that's the most important.
Yeah. You've been working on that. Huh?
We soft launched the brand at a conference.
It is exciting, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. And yeah, you do have a long to do list for me. Part of that's on me. Megan, I had Megan do a research task, which was go to the internet and find everything Lofty Labs so that it can be updated. There's a lot of shit out there.
Wow. Yeah.
And if you Google it, I walked by Megan's desk one day, and it was like there's this awful picture of me wearing a Lofty Labs shirt that got published in Arkansas Business. They were going to do a profile when we first launched the company, and so I went to Vistaprint and ordered a shirt with the logo on it. Yeah. I was like, I gotta be wearing my company's logo on this shirt, and then I went and got a headshot, and it's just awful. I hate it. I hate that picture. And it's fucking everywhere. I don't know where Arkansas Business syndicates all their stuff, but I walked by Megan's computer and it was a Google image search for Lofty Labs, and it was just my face repeated in that one damn photo over and over and over with this stupid grin on my face. And I was like, oh Jesus, get that off your screen.
Maybe that's why you
scare the clients.
Because I put that picture in the document.
Did you?
Yes.
I did open it, I'm sure.
Now I don't believe you. I have to look.
There's a paper trail. So Megan did a deep scour of the internet. We've changed a lot of that. We had to change the Instagram handle. It's no longer Lofty Labs, it's Lofty HQ, because Lofty was taken. Five letter stuff. That's hard to do. We didn't change the domain name because that was always Higher Lofty. That's on my list of regrets. We'll address that one day. It's a little desperate. But we didn't have to change that.
It should be Higher Lofty dot or don't.
Yeah.
We don't care.
Then we're indifferent.
Forward slash indifferent. Yeah.
/indifferent.
There was that. We had to change the same thing, Facebook page. There's a lot of Lofty Labs just in like URLs for us. There's
the
a lot
swag
of
swag and everyone's wearing
we,
it today.
Yeah, we got new shirts. We ordered swag.
We soft launched the brand at a conference 2 weeks ago, and so we ordered a new conference setup, tablecloths, standing banners, and things like that. So we had to do that work, but there's still plenty to do. And then I scrubbed the website top to bottom. Did an old set on it. Grep Labs actually, and found a lot of that and cleaned that up.
Pleasure with empty string.
Yeah. Did a newspaper interview as part of it. We have a press release drafted that we haven't pushed out yet until after this party. So that's coming. Yeah. So there's been a lot of that. I'm sure that if we hired a branding consultancy, it would have been 10 times the ordeal. So we're doing it softly. And this party today is friends and family and current clients, former clients, maybe some prospective clients. I think John's extended the invite out to a couple people that were future lofty abusers that we're courting. We've been actually working on it in earnest since Megan started. So yeah. How long have you been with us, Megan?
Since August.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for a good, we're coming up into month 4 of working on the rebrand. So
sweet. Yeah. What all do I have to look forward to this afternoon?
Oh man, there's charcuterie. We sent our
we got charcuterie. Oh,
yeah. We sent our vegan to go get meat and cheese. For yeah, us.
I didn't realize you were vegan.
I felt when you pointed that out to me, I felt immense guilt. By the way,
I think that works better though than if you sent.
This looks like it was an animal.
Yeah. I think that works better though than if you sent me to go get vegan snacks, because then I'd come back with meat and cheese and be like, right? I mean. Oh, yeah, well, probably not the meat, but maybe
there
cheese.
Is one vegan cheese, but I'm not going to tell anybody what it is.
Why not?
In the setup?
Yeah, it's going to be like, oh, this is the best one.
Is it cashew based? Is it like?
Oh, I'm excited now. I like.
Oh yeah.
I think so. It's called Tree Line. That's the company, I believe.
Mm.
I've had some cashew cheese before.
We've done that. We've done the cashew nutritional yeast situation.
How long have you been vegan for, Megan?
Well, this was actually kind of recent. So it's been like almost 10 years that I stopped eating meat.
Wow.
But then, so I was vegan probably like hardcore for like maybe like 2 or 3 years. And then I started eating fish just because my husband, really, I'm just going to blame it on him. Like going
throw him under the bus.
Going to restaurants and his family. They're, it was just so hard like eating out. And then I kind of just was like, just have fish.
Dabbing fish.
And now it's been a couple of months and I'm back on just being vegan and trying to actually find alternatives here.
It's challenging. It's got to be challenging.
There's not a lot of restaurants here, but the Whole Foods and natural food stores, I'm just trying to cook more and stay away from.
It's pretty much what you have to do.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
Because here it's nothing but pizza and barbecue. If you want to go out to eat, and that's it.
I was in four different chicken places.
Mellow
Mushroom. You can go vegan there.
Oh, dude,
I was vegan
the shiitake,
for a while
the
as well.
Holy shiitake.
Yeah.
Oh, and shiitake mushrooms on a pizza, and it's a white sauce instead
they got
of a
vegan,
red sauce. So
vegan
good.
Cheese is available there. A little vegan cheese on the pizza. I'm not sure what they use exactly, but it's good stuff. The vegan pizza there.
There you go.
So. There I go.
Vegan options. I did feel guilty though when we realized that Megan went. I think though when it comes to cured meat and cheese, it's hard to fuck that up.
It's also hard to vegan that.
I'm just fucking with you guys. I think it was really good.
I have so much respect for that. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
It's it'll be good.
The charcuterie will be nothing but pecans.
I would be okay with that.
Yeah.
Not seeds and bread.
I would be okay with that too.
Seed-based crackers. Oh. Have you done the chia seed crackers? That's not really a vegan thing. I don't know why. I feel dumb now. Like you're vegan, right? You don't eat gluten. But if you ever have,
it's tough to keep up.
If you ever have the seed-based? Yeah. I mix of the strange alternative foods.
Are you
together.
Thinking of Mary's?
I can't remember what brand it is. I want to say it's something far less clever, and I think it's called Nut Thins.
Yes, I've had
the brand
Thins.
Of like these thin nut based crackers.
Yeah, which are gluten free, not vegan. Although they may be vegan as well.
So Paige was and still largely is gluten free. So I've had a gluten free diet for a long time. So I've had a lot of nut crackers.
Hmm.
They're not as good as the real cracker. No one's pulled that off. I'll have to try Mary's if those are good.
I didn't get those.
You said they were good.
I know, but I didn't get them.
You didn't get them for today. I got you. What else can you look forward to today, Tyrell?
Yes.
We've got a couple drink specials.
Oh, yeah.
We got to pick names for them, don't we? So well, we're still behind.
We were torn on the old fashioned of calling that the waterfall.
We were going to call it waterfall.
Our listeners will appreciate it.
Come on, guys.
Yeah. That's good. Right? I like it.
I know the audience loves it. I'm not sure that the audience who will physically be in the office tonight will get it.
Can we parenthetically call it a waterfall? Or parenthetically call it an old fashioned? Or a waterfall, parenthetically. Old fashioned.
That would help.
That would
definitely help explain the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, then we do have to.
We do it. This is for us.
Yeah.
It's our brand.
I mean, we are having people come here to go like, we changed our name. Be happy.
Yeah. You don't like it? You don't get the joke? Fuck you.
Yeah.
Parenthetically, waterfall, just ask a nerd.
That's perfect. It'll start a conversation.
Like, hey,
even lead to a sale.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm down for that. And then we have the Mill District Manhattan.
Okay, that's
Hat tip to John for the name there. Yep.
Thank you.
I like it.
And gin and tonic that hasn't been named.
That is LaCroix.
Yeah. The LaCroix, it's only going to work. It has to be mixed with LaCroix for it to be a LaCroix.
Well, we have, isn't the tonic, is the tonic simple syrup or is that actually tonic?
I think
there's some tonic water in there.
Tonic water and gin.
Okay, because I was about to say, I know we've got those fancy syrups.
Sorry.
No. You're like, what's that other thing? No, I know we've got like the tonic, what I think is simple syrup. I was like, if it's syrup, you have to mix it with something anyway, so you could mix it with.
We'll talk to the bartender because he could.
Wait, we're actually going to have a bartender?
Of course we're going to have
a bartender. I thought you were like joking about we'll talk. Megan and I will Google this when we're done recording.
No, we have a bartender coming.
Well, this would be the birthday party 3 years ago or
that's
something.
Right.
We had a bartender.
Less handlebar mustaches.
Small,
that one.
Yeah.
That was a fun party.
It was.
That was our first.
Small and cozy and yeah.
All right, that was our second birthday is when that was.
Yeah.
So you were there. So that's
I was
that
there
date's
for that.
It was before you were working with us, but that was our first birthday was just me, Sloan, and Paige drinking champagne above Damn Good Pies.
Oh, there's a picture of that somewhere.
There is. Yeah. It's a wild picture because it's a tiny office. That TV's in it. That was in the old
can't
office.
Kill that TV.
No, I bought that when I was freshman in college.
Boy,
that is like a $1,500 32-inch TV because now you can get that TV for $45 and it's 4K. This is 720p. Yeah. But I was early adopter. I had scholarship stipend money. And I was like, we're going to have the only flat screen in the dorm. And I just blew it all. Blew it all on a 32-inch Polaroid TV. Did you know Polaroid makes TVs?
That's my favorite
part.
They used
to. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
that's
TV
was in
it.
My favorite part. Yeah. I just wonder where the photo comes out and then I shake it. Do you shake the TV when it comes on?
Yeah, the whole thing.
A good shake.
The image comes. If you don't shake it, the color doesn't come in. That's actually true. You do have to shake that thing to get it to work. That TV's in it, and I'm about 40 pounds lighter. Running the business has taken a toll on my...
your appetite.
It has bolstered my appetite, apparently. Yeah. It's taken a toll on everything else, though. Hmm. So that was the first part, and then the second was that one.
Hmm.
And so we had a bartender coming tonight. Proper, real deal.
Heck yeah.
I like it.
Tip him well, I assume.
Oh, shit, I forgot to get cash.
Yeah, we'll get him.
I'll tell him not to eat.
We'll make sure he gets paid.
Don't eat yellow snow.
No.
Always a good tip.
Yeah, 100%.
Also, don't take wooden nickels. It's another solid tip.
That's a good one.
Wooden nickels?
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh,
don't
man.
Take wooden nickels.
Oh, that's man.
Yeah.
He told me that they were super valuable and rare. I have this whole thing of wooden nickels.
That's made out of rare wood.
You were
rare pine.
You were fed a
rare white pine.
It was southern yellow pine. It's treated so they'll last forever. I thought it was valuable. But it gets all over my hands when I touch them. I get the treated stuff. It's poison. So that's what to look forward to.
Cool. Sounds good.
And I asked Megan. I said, "Am I gonna have to give a fucking speech at this thing?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Okay."
Yeah.
And then that's gonna go like every speech I've ever given, which is I will figure that out as it's coming out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm. Those are the best.
I have a loose. I have an outline. I have a 3-bullet-point outline.
Well, if you can do the podcast,
I don't.
Like that,
yeah, exactly. Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, that's a. I make shit up
for
hours for once a week.
You can speak for a minute with just what's in RAM.
I don't do long speeches.
I'm glad.
Honestly.
That's good.
Yeah, that's not my thing.
Excellent.
A minute, that's pushing it.
Yeah.
It's going to be.
That's true.
Thanks for coming. We got a brand. If you want to talk about code, that one. If you want to talk about buying something, that one.
guess the vegan cheese, that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for coming. Please don't fuck up our house while you're partying in it. Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
Yeah. So that's the thing. We're rebranding. I'm excited. I have to announce a couple things. No new patrons this week. That's okay, though. We got you last week.
Yeah.
But to the patrons, a big thanks. We have some studio upgrades coming.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, we were talking about this yesterday. This is news to
Tyrell. Oh, yeah. Alan has a preview.
Mm.
But I'm going to keep it
under wraps.
Yeah, clandestine for now. But yeah, we'll post to the Patreon page, patreon.com/Friday Afternoon Deploy.
Mm.
We'll post some pictures of some of the stuff that's coming, but we're using the patrons are helping us upgrade this show. So
and then we're putting it back into it for y'all.
Here's what I can say. The people on that couch won't be sharing a microphone for too much longer. That's a benefit.
That's the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right, well, I guess we're going to go do work now.
Work till we party.
Work till the party time happens.
Mm. Party like it's Thursday.
It is a Thursday.
Yep.
A little how the sausage is made. We're running behind on this one. We've been planning a rebrand. Give us a break. You don't know. It's going to come out at the same time for you anyway. By the way, by the time it lands, Fallen Order will have been out for a week, and the party will have been a week ago. By
this
the time
is all true.
Hear this.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true.
No, it's tomorrow. Yeah,
we're so behind, it's going to come out tomorrow. It'll only be a day behind.
Yeah.
Very contemporary.
Oh, forget about that. We got a week off. Yeah.
I'll just talk into the microphone and say, we'll cut that in post, and then we won't. So there we go. We'll cut
that
in post.
That's what we do. Yeah.
And we'll see you guys in a week. Thanks for listening to Friday Afternoon Deploy, recorded and produced by the team at Lofty Labs. If you enjoyed the show, you can subscribe to future episodes via iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. You can also follow @FridayDeploy on Facebook and Twitter for episode previews, live streams, and other behind-the-scenes peeks. Past episodes and show notes on this episode can be found at friday.hirelofty.com. That's friday.hirelofty.com. If you'd like to contact the show, or if you're local to the Northwest Arkansas area and would like to be a guest on the show, you can email us at podcast@hirelofty.com.